This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store. Enjoy the podcast. Get a
better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
As stocks swan dive and coronavirus fears grow, President Trump today praising his administration's response, now being led by Vice President Mike Pence.
The vice president has also come under fire for how he handled a spike in HIV cases in Indiana in 2015 when he was governor.
Politically speaking, this president may have to reap what he has sown when it comes to the public's trust, or lack thereof, in the institutions built to keep this democracy healthy, pun intended.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
The administration is caught. We're scrambling. We don't know what to do. That's the narrative. My first meeting with Congress face-to-face was probably 6 weeks ago on coronavirus. Wow. Why didn't you hear about it? What was still going on 4 or 5 weeks ago? Impeachment. And that's all the press wanted to talk about. The reason you're seeing so much attention to it today is that they think this is going to be what brings down the president. That's what this is all about.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
For them to try to take a pandemic and seemingly hope that it comes here and kills millions of people so that they could end Donald Trump's streak of winning is a new level of sickness.
He should not be near me when he says that. There would be a serious altercation. Don Jr. had better not get anyplace close to me. It would not be a healthy situation.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Nelson Mandela walked out of prison. I had the great honor of being arrested with our UN ambassador on the streets of Soweto trying to get to see him on Robben Island.
Your campaign has come out since and said, no, no, no. You were separated from other people.
Well, what I meant to say was, I guess I wasn't arrested. I was stopped.
I'm a member of Pathological Liars Anonymous. In fact, I'm the president of that organization. Yeah, that's who I am.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. You know, listening to Chuck Todd, I got to think to myself, what does David Gregory think? Remember him? He got fired from Meet the Press because he sucked. He's saying, did I suck any worse than F. Chuck Todd does on a daily basis? 844-500-4242. The things are, you know, the markets are in such flux. Even gold was down today. You know, we're not going to sugarcoat it. I mean, this is why you got to be diversified, because at some point, everything takes a beating. So you can't just have all your eggs in one basket, as I was saying earlier. 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Only 2 hours now until the president takes the stage in Charleston, North Charleston, South Carolina. And I don't know when the Bernie Bros gather in Springfield. I think if I were in Western Mass, this is not the night I'd be going into the MGM Grand Casino. You know, unless I wanted my car to be trashed by the celebratory Bernie Bros after the rally tonight. Time now for the Chump Line.
Hey, Joe, you should have warned Hunter not to be in a confined rent-a-car with an ounce of blow.
Yeah, Hunter is a pan addict. No, I think he prefers crack, but he'll take the blow if he's just in a men's room. And, you know, so often he just happens to be in a men's room of some local establishment and somebody just comes up to him. Hey, aren't you Joe Biden's son? I can't give you an $83,000 a month contract for doing nothing, but would you like a couple of lines? That's what he said happens to him in the New Yorker story. People just offer him lines randomly. And strippers, well, we all know what strippers offer him, because now he's got to make child support payment.
I've got to be honest. I'd rather have the coronavirus than Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah, you can recover from the coronavirus. In fact, most people do. So far, Trump derangement syndrome, nobody has ever regained their mental capacity after being infected. The Trump line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, celebrating America's greatest treasure, that of free and open elections. As we enter into the primary season, it's important to remember to not destroy campaign signs, flags, or posters, lest you get chased down an alley and placed under citizen's arrest.
It looks like Plugs has stepped in more doo-doo in his BS story about the swine flu. This relic from the past is losing it fast. By the grace of God, he'll soon be through.
Yeah, let's play that cut again. This is Joe Biden on swine flu, and he's basically yelling wolf in a crowded theater, as Nancy Pelosi would say. Go ahead.
I would tell members of my family, and I have, I wouldn't go anywhere in confined places now. It's not that it's going to Mexico, it's you're in a confined aircraft. When one person sneezes, it goes all the way through the aircraft. That's me. I would not be at this point, if they had another way of transportation, suggesting they ride the subway. So from my perspective, what it relates to is mitigation. If you're out in the middle of a field and someone sneezes, that's one thing. If you're in a closed aircraft, a closed right. container, a closed car, closed classroom, it's a different thing.
So, Mr. Vice President, are you telling us that we should not take the subway to Mexico? Can we quote you on that, Mr. Vice President? Okay. So we just got a text. Someone is out in Springfield and says they're not selling a lot of Irish Spring tonight or any other kind of soaps with the Bernie Bros in town.
Someday, Elizabeth Warren will say, I ran for president, but I didn't get the job because I was visibly pregnant.
I'd say that day could come as early as this summer.
So America looked at me and said, see you later, and they picked somebody else.
I think it was my high cheekbones that they held against me.
Howie, Joe Biden, man, yeah, you gotta stop spewing all this malarkey about me. I did save the country from the pig sniffles back then. And I gotta tell you, I'm gonna save him from the Dos Equis virus, too.
Yeah. Did you hear the news today that, for some reason, Corona beer sales are down? I wonder what could be the cause. Why are people switching over to Dos Equis or Modelo?
Because they're realizing there's better beer out there.
Yeah. Did you see, too, that there's some fraternity got into trouble because they had a Corona party with face masks and or surgical masks and Corona beer? And the newspaper account said that the fraternity was serving chilled Corona beer. I think that was a good move, don't you, Taylor? I mean, it tastes bad enough chilled. I mean, can you imagine how bad it tastes warm?
Yeah, I'm afraid what it might resemble if it's warm.
the first word would be panther. I won't tell you what the second word would be.
Howie, coronavirus here. Stop linking me with Trump. I'm a weapons-grade virus, and I can kill people all by myself. I don't need Trump's help.
The Trump virus. If I could, I would get Gail Collins a vaccination, not against the coronavirus, but against Trump derangement syndrome. She's the 74-year-old. Wrinkly columnist for the New York Times who said coronavirus should be called Trump virus.
Wow. Walter Mitty Biden up to it again. Was he really there at Appomattox?
You know, I was thinking about writing that in my column, but should he be compared to Walter Mitty or Forrest Gump? You know, Walter Mitty dreamed of being a great man. Forrest Gump actually just inserted himself into every historical situation. I think he may be more Forrest Gump than Walter Mitty.
Howie, Mike Bloomberg calling. We need full transparency from our presidential candidates. We have the right to know all the details, whether it be Bernie Sanders' heart attack or Joe Biden's lobotomy.
Oh, that's just so unkind. I can't wait to hear Joe Biden's victory speech tomorrow in South Carolina, especially if he loses.
What's not to love about Keene? I think that's how he's going to start it.
It's great to be here in North South Carolina.
Running for Senate in Georgia has never felt so good.
Yeah. What's not to love about Keene, Vermont? It's great to be back here in Ohio. Iowa.
Said Joe Biden to the voters in SC. Do you know where I am? Are you sure this is where I'm meant to be?
Let's play his most recent cut, Taylor. Geography confusion, not any other kind of confusion, just his becoming unstuck.
3,900 of them right here in the state of North South Carolina.
North South Carolina, as opposed to South North Carolina.
That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
That's it for the Chump Line today. The Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message at any hour of the day or night, including weekends. The Chump Line number, if you'd like to leave such a message, 844-500-4242. That's 844-500-4242. Press 2 and leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time each weekday. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, celebrating America's greatest treasure, that of free and open elections. As we enter into the primary season, it's important to remember to not destroy campaign signs, flags, or posters, lest you get chased down an alley and placed under citizen's arrest.
Hey, Joe, you should have warned Hunter not to be in a confined rent-a-car with an ounce of blow.
207 says, it's great to be here in Ohio. Yeah, that's good. That's good. North South Carolina, Ohio, Keene, Vermont.
He should really just always start off with, it's great to be here in America. Because that's at least a little bit more broad.
With my friend, Barack America, here in America. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Show.
Hi, this is John in the People's Republic of Amherst, Massachusetts.
This is Heather from Litchfield, Maine.
This is Kent, Wichita, Kansas, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy, but now with Roman, it can be. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for erectile dysfunction, all from the comfort of your own home. No uncomfortable visits to the physician or the pharmacy to pick up a prescription. Go to GetRoman.com/Howie to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. GetRoman.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Tom Brady remain with the Patriots this coming season?
I think he will, yes.
57% think so.
Okay. And Grace is one of them. Another one of them. We told you yesterday about Catherine Pugh, the former mayor of Baltimore and the former majority leader, president of the Maryland State Senate. She was convicted. What?
Author.
Yes,
Catherine Pugh, the author, is what I believe you're trying to say.
Yes, author. Yes, yes. She was an author of the Holly books, the Holly children's books, about some struggling young lady named Holly, kind of a Greta Thunberg type figure, you know? And so she was convicted, and yesterday she was sentenced to 3 years in prison. by a federal judge in Baltimore. And we just found out, we told you about it yesterday, but we found out some new information that when she threw herself on the mercy of the court yesterday, you know what she cited as some of the terrible ordeals that she had suffered, Grace?
No, what?
When she was holed up in her house after the stories broke, and, you know, she was in a photo finish with the grand jury, and they were subpoenaing documents all over the city of Baltimore and the state of Maryland. She went into her house and hid and wouldn't come out. And so the TV crews were all outside of her house. And so some shock jocks from the local station.
I remember this. We played this on the show. We definitely have it somewhere if Brandon or Taylor wants to find it. They were outside with the speakerphone thing.
Yeah, bullhorn. They had a bullhorn. And they were going, "Good morning, Madam Mayor. This is 98 Rock. We're here to check on you. I brought a wellness basket."
Yep.
"There's some chicken noodle soup, a little bit of toilet paper, and a full bag of cough drops. They might be expired. We are willing to trade the wellness basket for your resignation. Think about your health. What would Holly do?"
I remember this because the two guys at the radio station sent down the girl who worked there, and she was so cute, and she was sitting outside, and then she kept saying, like, "Oh, the cops are coming, the cops are coming," and they're like, stay strong.
So her lawyer said yesterday, she was confined to her bedroom, meaning the mayor, sobbing inconsolably for hours at a time, leaving no doubt she understood the harm that she did. She was curled up in a ball, never leaving her bed, in total despair. She suffered psychological and physical harm. Some mornings, FM shock jocks with a bullhorn were outside her window screaming, "Come out, come out, come out." Oh, boy. It would take a heart of stone not to laugh.
It was a very entertaining segment.
Yes.
As people in radio, we really appreciated it.
And you know, Rock 98 appreciated it, too, because the fact that they were mentioned in the plea for mercy gave them a chance to replay all of it this morning, just as we're enjoying talking about it. So Attorney General William Barr was at a convention of religious broadcasters on Wednesday, and he made some really good points. I mean, I wish Andrew McCabe was indicted. I wish all of them were indicted. And I'm sorry, John Durham, the U.S. attorney from Connecticut, is taking so long. But you got to give Bill Barr credit. He makes great speeches. "We live in a time when religion, long an essential pillar of our society, is being driven from the public square." In his speech, Barr said religion, decentralized government, and the free press once protected us against tyranny, but these three moderating forces have all declined in recent decades. "How does religion protect against majoritarian tyranny?" Barr asked. He made three points. "It puts moral limits on people with the power to rule. The essence of Christ's message counsels for modesty and restraint in secular politics. Religion tempers political acrimony by making clear that what happens here on earth is only transient, not eternally. Unfortunately," Barr said, "this vital moderating force in our society has declined over the past several decades. We have seen a decline in religion and its benevolent influence."
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
They'll
got a lot of
out.
People on the inside.
I got no money.
Where are you? Are you right across the street?
Okay, good.
Yes.
You have your megaphone?
I'm ready.
Go ahead. Start with your script.
Okay, let's see if I can do this.
She's so freaked out.
This is outside Catherine Pugh's house.
Good morning, Mayor. This is 98 Rock, Justin Scott's Steve Morning Show. We're here to check on you. I bought you a wellness basket. Guys, we're on the news right now.
Good. Go.
We've got some chicken noodle soup and Robitussin. We've got some bagel bites for you, a little bit of toilet paper, and a half full bag of cough drops. They might be expired.
Tell her that
we are willing there you go. To trade you the wellness basket for your resignation.
The mayor didn't deserve to be humiliated like that, her lawyer said yesterday. Oh, she did wrong. But why did those evil shock jocks do that to her? All right. 844-500-4242. Usually at this time of Friday show, we do Police Blotter Facts Friday, but today we're going to put it off for a little bit. Joe Piantedosi is down here in Florida, and he's going to come by the studio a little bit later in Boca. So we're going to do it probably around an hour from now, but we're going to do some other stuff as now, and it's 844-500-4242. We are going to do Police Blotter Facts Friday. Sorry about this. We didn't know about the plans being changed until just now. I want to tell you about something that I regret to report that a member of a large West Roxbury family has passed on. Philip B. Phil Brown died yesterday. He was one of 17 siblings that was born to the to this family, and a number of them have passed on now, and he passed on yesterday. He passed away peacefully surrounded by his loving family yesterday, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm reading this. This is a posting by at the Gormley Funeral Service on Center Street in West Roxbury, which is Boston, you know. And the reason I'm reading this is is at the bottom of it. In lieu of flowers, donations in Phil's memory may be made to the Donald J. Trump reelection campaign. DJT Inc. Trump Tower, 725 Fifth Avenue, New York, New York, 10022, or at DonaldJTrump.com. How about that? Phil Brown, what a stand-up guy.
And Phil's family is listening right now, Howie, to the show.
Phil's family, feel free to call in. I'm thinking about using this as the lead to my column on Sunday, just to write about the upcoming primary. And speaking of which, the BUR poll also conducted a survey of local Republicans. And as we told you, the Democrat field, Crazy Bernie is now fairly comfortably ahead of the fake Indian, 25-17. But the fake Indian's deficit is nothing compared to the deficit of William Floyd Weld, the former governor. He has slipped slightly behind President Trump in the poll of Massachusetts Republican and independent voters who are going to take a Republican ballot. President Trump comes in at 83% in the polls. Bill Weld comes in at 14%. That's a 69% lead for the president of the United States. I think that's somewhat outside of the margin of error.
14% of people wanted to restore principles to the conservative party.
Did you read that Boston Globe editorial? Boy, the Globe has a lot of influence, don't they? They endorsed the fake Indian, who's down by 8, and they endorsed Bill Weld, who's down by 69. Good work. They sure have a lot of power, don't they? And incidentally, they also said, do you have a favorable opinion of, they asked this of Republicans, do you have a favorable opinion of Governor Baker? 50% among Republicans. He has a higher favorability rating among Democrats than he does among Republicans. They asked Republicans, do you have a favorable opinion of Donald J. Trump? 82%. So, Phil Brown, this is great. I wish Phil had lived long enough to see President Trump win the primary on Tuesday and get reelected in November. But that was really thoughtful of him, and would love to hear from one of the kids or from anybody who's related to him to talk about this. Phil Brown says, in lieu of flowers, donations in Phil's memory may be made to the Donald J. Trump reelection campaign. What a great move.
And Howie, it's such a great move, too, because when you think about it, you might as well do it And you might as well say what you feel in your obituary. What are people going to be mad at you? If you're gonna start telling people your political opinion, that's the time to do it. And I just love the idea of liberals picking up their papers and reading that and getting so angry.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
844-500-4242. Scott, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Scott.
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah. Over the past week, I have gotten 4 flyers from candidates running for the state GOP committee, 3 from Post Office Box 8010.
Mm-hmm.
And the 3 from Post Office Box 8010 are for the same pair of incumbents running for re-election. The first 2, they say they want to drain the swamp.
Drain the swamp, and, right. Scott, here's what you got to remember. Those are swamp creatures. Why would a swamp creature want to drain his or her own habitat? It's BS.
I just got another one from them today, from these 2 swamp creatures. But this time, unlike the first 2 times, they mentioned Donald Trump. And not only that, they got a picture of these 2 incumbents superimposed over a picture of Donald Trump giving a thumbs up, as if he supports them. So they've got President Trump's picture on it.
How cynical are they? Scott, how stupid do they think you and me and everybody else who's getting these brochures is that we're going to buy this? These mailings that come out of P.O. Box 8010 in Boston are paid for by Charlie Baker's committee. Charlie Baker, Tal Duvall, hates President Trump. He hates him, and he wants to double the gas tax. Why would any sane person, Republican, independent, even a Democrat, vote for someone who wants to double the gas taxes?
I have no idea. I also got one from Tom Maloney, who's running against this other guy here in this district.
Yes.
And he says that he's a good friend of Party Chairman Jim Lyons.
Yes. Right. And I've made a robocall for Tom Maloney. You'll probably get it on Monday sometime during the course of the day. I made that robocall for 29 people. I recorded it yesterday, and it'll be going out. Vote for Tom Maloney in that district. Thanks for the call, Scott. 808 says, Bill Weld has less chance of winning the Massachusetts primary than he does of passing a roadside sobriety check. That's a good way to put it. Rambo 413, did you say Bill Weld has slipped behind or sipped behind President Trump? Both, actually. 844-500-4242. Bob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bob.
Really?
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just, man, I can't believe it. But anyhow, I was watching a program of yours prior to your show, and I was listening to a Democrat strategist and a Republican strategist in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And she said that President Trump underestimated at $2.5 billion. Way underestimated it. Well, what about the money? Why do we need any money allocated? You could have used the money from the
Number one, Bob, I know this is a problem worldwide, and it's a problem everywhere to have this epidemic, but the fact is, nobody has died yet, and we set this up. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, so that they don't have to respond in an emergency situation like this. We don't have to be, in a panic mode. We're always supposed to be working on these problems, these kinds of problems. And, you know, when you get something new that comes out like this, it takes a while to come up with a vaccination. And it's going to just take some time. And it would take some time even if Hillary Clinton were the president. They are weaponizing this. You know, they always say Republicans weaponize an issue. Republicans pounce on an issue. They seize an issue. What are Democrats doing if they're not weaponizing, pouncing, and seizing on this issue? Thanks for the call, Bob Carr.
They call him the trash man, but we'll call him Captain Howie.
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
(844) 500-4242 We were just telling you about Phil Brown from West Roxbury. He died yesterday, and his funeral notice, his death notice, is posted with the Gormley Funeral Service in West Roxbury. And it says, in lieu of flowers, donations in Phil's memory may be made to the Donald J. Trump reelection campaign, DJT Inc., Trump Tower, 7725 Fifth Avenue, New York, New York, or at DonaldJTrump.com. What a great gesture for Phil Brown to make. And joining us now on the line to discuss this are his brother, Michael Brown, and his son, Joe Brown. First of all, our condolences and sympathies for the loss of your brother and your father. But this is a great gesture on his part or your part. Michael, whose idea was this? Was this your brother's idea, or the family's idea?
Howie, I can respond by telling you, Philip had his loyalties, and Donald Trump being reelected again was on the top of his list. By the way, I don't know if you realize it, but when Philip passed away, it was his birthday yesterday.
Oh, really?
By Joseph, 68 years old, Howie.
68.
By the way, Howie, can I say hello to my nephew, Joseph?
Absolutely.
Joking.
Hey, Mike, how
can you hear me?
I can,
hi,
yeah.
Hi, Joe.
Good to hear from you.
I didn't know how he was on the air with this Phillips death notice until my good friend Tommy Schoen called me. Anyway, Joe, I'll let you speak, or Howie, you can speak. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Joe, were you surprised when did he say to you that he wanted to do this?
I knew that my father was a big supporter of the president, and it was actually something that he had spoken to with my mother. So when we were at Gormley's the other day, she was the one that had put it into the obituary, and she hadn't told me about it. So at the time, I was kind of surprised, but not surprised. You know what I mean?
So he was a big supporter of Donald Trump, huh?
I mean, the whole family is. So that's why it wasn't shocking. But just, you know, that he would put it in the obituary was kind of a shock, but not a shock. You know, it was funny, but, you know, not surprising. And, you know, we're kind of, you know, happy that he did it.
Yeah, what did he do for work before he got sick?
Yeah. He used to be he's retired, and then before that he was retired from the water and sewer.
Okay. And so, but he was a big Trump. You said everybody in the family is big Trump supporters. Is that?
Yes.
And so he's going to be. I hope he took an absentee ballot to vote for President Trump in the primary.
I hope so too. I hope so too. I'd have to check with my mother on that one.
Yes, the texters are. Yeah, go ahead, Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah, I met you at the Irish Social Club on Park Street in West Roxbury. They had a time for Jeff Deal.
Jeff Deal, I remember
myself,
that. Yeah,
my buddy Liam Murray were fortunate enough to meet you and Jeff, and it was a great turnout. And it was my pleasure. So anyway, what I'm doing here right now is like totally unexpected. A friend called me and said, "I hope you're listening to Howie Carr." He told me why. So here we are.
Yeah, it was definitely a shock.
Well, I'm going to mention this in my column tomorrow that this was Phil Brown's last wish, and it's I think it's great. It's really and I appreciate Peggy Rose tipped me off to this. She's one of your neighbors in West Roxbury, and I'm sure that everybody appreciates this this fine gesture. And you know, it's really important, and everybody should get out and vote, not just on Tuesday in the primary, but you know, remember, November's coming up. Everybody's got to get out and vote. And I'm sure Phil would appreciate not only a contribution but a vote for the president on Tuesday.
Agreed, definitely agreed.
Yeah. And it's something. There were 17, Michael. There were 17 of you in the family when you were growing up. You there, Michael?
You still there?
I don't know if he left, but that's a mighty big yeah. family, even by even by Boston Irish standards, Joe.
Yeah, they were one of the biggest families in the neighborhood, as far as I know. Yeah, my dad was one of 17. So it's pretty amazing.
All right, Joe and Michael Brown, thanks a lot. And always remember Phil Brown. I'm Howie Carr.